$4.99? Are you out of your mind? It is January 31st, 2017. The countdown to 500 inches one closer. Patty Marleau nets 499. Then he netted 499 again. Thanks, Bodker. It is Pucknology After Dark. We are going to definitely bang on the Bodker drum tonight. But first, I would like to let you know that we are sponsored, as always, by Audible. You can check out audibletrial.com/PAD. You get a free audiobook out of the deal. They have all kinds of good stuff you can check out there. Books about hockey, books about politics, really anything you could possibly dream of. Check it out. That's audibletrial.com/PAD. And we would like you to join the Bleepversation here. You can use the hashtag Pucknology80 on Twitter. You can use the YouTube chat. You can tweet at us, especially if you have funny memes and Photoshops looking at you, Chester. But, you know, y'all can give him a run for his money. He is the Photoshop king on After Dark. With that, I would like to introduce my stunning co-host tonight. If I can...
Rocket's not here.
Screen share. For some reason, I'm still screen sharing. I don't know why I can't stop my screen share, but...
There you go.
Hey, there I am. Yes, you may see my lovely face now as well. But I would like to introduce my stunning and brave co-host here. I am joined by PuckGuy14, Mr. Eric Kura. How's it going tonight, buddy?
Stunning. That's a compliment I've never been paid before, so thanks. I'm doing good. I'm just doing very well. I'm tempted to make a trip to Vancouver on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you might witness history. Who knows? So, I mean, where to start with this game? Let's just go initial thoughts. I'll give mine, then you can take it for a moment. But I thought it was a fun game. It was really one of those kind of games where it's like, if I didn't have a stake in this would be a lot more fun. I was kind of on the edge of my seat. It was still fun, even as, you know, even with saying a stake, but it's the kind of game that you want to watch if you have nothing in it. You have no horse in the race. You want to see two good teams get a lot of chances, go back and forth. I mean, there's definitely some flaws in the Sharks game tonight. No perfect game, but it was really good. They kept the Blackhawks under wraps for the most part. The one goal they let in was a total snipe that looked like Jones didn't quite pick it up, but that would have been hard for him to pick up anyway. So it was a very nice shot. They close it out at the end there with a goal in the last few minutes by Hurdle, but very fun game. Good win for the Sharks against a quality team. What do you think?
The pace was insane. I mean, like the guy said on the broadcast tonight, if that's what 4 days off looks like for these teams, holy cow. Oh, that was amazing. That was a great start, a great finish. Definitely something you would see in the playoffs, and that's a playoff style game that they're going to have to play once it gets to April. So it was a great game, back and forth, great goalie battle too. Jones played a heck of a job. Crawford, give him credit. Yeah, he lost the game, but he had his moments where he would have some nice saves to keep the Hawks in it. But the willpower from Tomas Hertl in the third was something else.
Yeah, that last shift where they scored was pretty intense there. Like, I kind of felt like they were going to score somewhere in there. This is the kind of game, is a playoff atmosphere, and it was also this is one I wish could have been nationally broadcast, because that's a great game. It's a lot like the ones we have the Kings, where it's a tight 1-1 battle. Really, really fun game to watch. And, you know, it's the kind of game the Sharks are going to have to win if they want to advance more than a round. The power play did come through. It didn't have such great moments early, but it did come through. I was kind of like, just, they scored on the power play.
right?
The shock. I mean, what did you take? What did you take from that?
Well, I mean, first off, just like they had two power plays that just looked like crap. I mean, it's like they get into the zone and then they just quickly turn it right over. Couldn't set it up whatsoever. So kudos to the Blackhawks power or penalty kill on that. But then Marleau was in the right spot. Puck came right to him. He buried it home for his second time scoring 499.
Yeah, we should touch on that. So there's that. it's time to beat that Bodker drum. You know, get your drums out and let's hit that. I don't know who was manning the Pucknology account tonight, but they're right. That was just a terrible, terrible mistake by Bodker. Clearly offside on that first goal. I mean, that was a great, beautiful effort by Marleau on that first should have been goal. Like, he great hands. The puck was bouncing. He tracked it. He managed to grab the puck and knock it in before Crawford got over there. I mean, that would have been a great goal if that had been able to stand, but. Bodker, what are you doing, man? I mean,
just a little leg lift made it offside. Otherwise, we'd be talking maybe for 3 hours tonight.
Yeah, the chat, they're saying Bodker pinata. Yeah, I mean, like, I thought as a whole, and to be perfectly fair here, I thought Bodker played really well tonight for the most part. I think he did a lot of good things.
Yeah, he used his speed. He set up chances. I thought, you know, when he would pass the puck, I think it was like to Martin in one rush. I thought it was a nice move, you know, but just that one little spot's going to get magnified just because it took away what could have been history.
Yep. And I realized that I wasn't quite doing my job on the intro fully here when I remind you, if you are new here, subscribe. We are here after every single game. And you can also find us on audio only on SoundCloud, iTunes, and all that fun stuff. So, hey, welcome to everyone who's new. Welcome to everyone who's returning. And I see we have our resident Columbus Blue Jackets fan here.
Yes.
I didn't see the final score on that one, but I believe it was 5-0 when I last looked at that.
Columbus won tonight. We'll cover that a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the scores and everything that happened. I know Edmonton did lose by a good margin to the Wild. So that's also something good. But yeah, I mean, back to the game here. There's a lot of really good moments in the game. I thought Bodker, like I said, he was all over the place, and really that was the one real negative play I saw for him. There was at least one play I remember I saw defensively. Had a little lapse. I saw a few plays though where he also hustled really well and got on the back check. So, you know, not to just shit on him the entire time. He did have some clear positives. One of the things I noticed during the game though, were you listening when they're talking about Brian Campbell and his commitment during the playoffs roughly 10 years ago?
I think I heard the back end of that, but I refresh me on it because that's a little interesting.
So they were pointing out, and they were not so subtly, you know, I don't know if you want to say implying or saying that he didn't go all out in the playoffs because he knew he had a generational wealth type contract right around the corner as a free agent and didn't think he sold out completely in the playoffs. And that's surprising. I mean, normally That was a lot more direct than I mean, because I was saying the same thing earlier to the person I was watching the game with, that, yeah, Campbell kind of disappeared in those playoffs. I didn't like how he played very much. And then Randy and Jamie start talking about it. And that was, I mean, that's kind of, yeah, I don't know. That seems to be, normally that's kind of taboo to do, but I don't know. What did you think?
9 years later I mean, he wanted to play safe, and he knew he was going to get a big deal somewhere. I mean, although I will say this, he got a big contract from Chicago. That's great. He won a Stanley Cup. That's great. But where was he in the dying seconds when the Sharks got eliminated by the Stars? Yep, he was in the penalty box in the fourth overtime because he took a stupid, lazy, dumb penalty.
Yep. And so, you know, Billy putting out in the chat, you know, like Campbell the Shark. Like, I did too. I really enjoyed Campbell during the regular season. It was just in the playoffs. Wasn't very happy. Didn't, you know, I tend to agree with what Jamie and Randy were saying. It didn't feel like he was selling out. If, you know, like, you know, they're pointing out, he didn't really have a lot to gain by the Sharks advancing. A cup, you know, obviously a cup's nice, but he knew, yeah, he knew he had that big contract. I don't know. It's, there's a little bit of hot takery to that. But I think there might be some truth to it, and the fact that they said it, not a fan, they said
it. Right. That has a little bit of validity to it. That's quite interesting. And if that's the case, well, as much as we gave up a ton to get that scoring defenseman, which, you know, eventually was Gentry's boy, Dan Motherpuckin' Boyle, you know, but the Sharks made it in the long run because, yeah, you got to have effort all the way through. You can't have lazy play, and if he wants to be lazy, well, whatever. It just disgusts me. Then
I don't know if I call it lazy as much as selfish. You know, thinking, you know, not selling out, not because, you know, you're lazy, but because, you know, I don't want to get injured. You know, it's selfish, non-team play type of thing. I think lazy wouldn't necessarily be the right word for that.
Well, if you're not going to go all out, then why the hell are you there?
Yeah, I know. And that's disappointing because, I mean, really, like, you need – yeah, I don't know. We're not going to get too much into that because we can't read his mind. Maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe we're taking out our frustration because you know how it is with Sharks in the playoffs. We always want somebody to blame. It's just how it goes. Looking in the chat here, you know, I just lost it. I had it right there in front of me, but Don Julio saying that playoff version of Campbell is a ghost, and I tend to agree. And like I said, he was in the penalty box when the season ended, but that collapse, you know, and we're not going to recap that entire playoff collapse. But that was more than him. That took a team to do that. But it was definitely disappointing. So another thing is also, I didn't hear it on TV, but I guess when Doug Wilson was mentioned, some fans booed. What's your take on that?
That's tough. Not sure. I mean, yeah, the 14-15 season wasn't the greatest in the world. I mean, he's developed. He's quickly got this organization back to where they have some depth on this team. I mean, let's be real here. The minor league system hasn't been like that for a long time. And Rocket saying the Chicago fans booed. Well, I'm sorry. He was originally a Chicago Blackhawk. He shouldn't be booing a guy that contributed so much to the Blackhawks organization. But he shouldn't get some boos at all. And I know that there was a lot of Blackhawks fans at the game. That's fine. But it's a rarity. I think he's like the fourth guy to play 1,000 games in the NHL and, you know, be a general manager for 1,000 games. And that's definitely a lot of kudos. So that's what I think. Uh-oh, Dad's here.
Uh-oh. Are we being irresponsible? We are joined by the Maple Masher himself, Ian Reed.
I don't got long, so I just want to say that it's always a good night when the SAP crowd goes home unhappy after a win.
Ouch. Oh, yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute too. We will touch on that in a minute. Kind of wrap up the Wilson thing though, like, I mean, you know, we can rehash all the stuff about him, but I think, like, he was on thin ice, you know, hockey metaphor, 2 years ago. And I was very much of the opinion you could have fired him then. But I said, like, okay, if you're bringing him back, he better get it right. And we had a bad year. And I think he righted the ship. And, you know, I think the patience did pay off. You know, with Stanley Cup run last year, that's pretty serious. And they're looking pretty good this year. So I'm... You know, I think he still deserves criticism at times because there's some things he's not always the best at. But he's done a very good job. Like, he's been a well above average GM for a good number of years here. So I think he absolutely deserves the respect. And yeah, maybe it was Chicago fans or Sharks fans. I don't know. If you're Sharks fans, shame on you. Chicago fans, shame on you as well. Shame on all of you. Don't boo. That's not classy at all. So yeah, I mean, some people are saying this is like United Center West or something tonight. Don't have any, you know, we didn't have a check-in from the game from AJ or Rocket, but I saw a lot of empty seats. I mean, it is a Tuesday night, but still, that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it's and I don't know the official figures. If somebody does let us know, we'll make sure you get credit for it. But yeah, Tuesday night, original six team, you know, because the Sharks certainly are longtime members of the original 22.
I guess one thing also is I remember Blackhawks fans always come and represent, or at least since 2010, they've always come and represent the tank. There's always been a pretty strong presence. You know, I've gone to a lot of Blackhawks Sharks games. And real quick plug here, we got 47 people watching. That's awesome.
Holy if you crap, are new on a Tuesday
here,
night.
If you're new here, mash that subscribe button down below. Check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all that great stuff. Back to you, Eric.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, that's kind of surprising that there's it wasn't a complete sellout and a lot of empty seats. Not sure why.
And I looked at getting tickets a few days ago, and the prices were not like that low either. I mean, it was like $45 and up.
That's what I was going to ask. I think that would be my question, is like with the, you know, the possibility of Patty Marleau, you know, scoring the goal, is that going to, would that increase the secondary market? But
I know it didn't for the Oilers game that I went to last week. I mean, although I purchased them before the before the Dick trick. So,
right.
I will say this. I checked for tickets to the game on Saturday, where it's Warriors mashup jersey night on top of what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
The cheapest ticket I saw was $65. Since then, I'm trying to pull it up right now. So far, nothing at the moment is for sale at $65. Yeah, the two seats that I looked at are suddenly gone up to $94.
Oh shit.
$87, $95. So
we actually have a live guest here, AJ, joining from mobile. I'm sure he wants to chime in on the crowd tonight, so we'll go to him real quick since he's on mobile. What's up, AJ?
Hey guys, hanging out, Whole Foods.
Yeah. How was the vibe tonight? Was it did it feel like you were in Chicago?
Dude, it was it sucked, to be honest with you. Dude, there were way too many Chicago fans there tonight. Way too many. When Chicago scored their goal, it sounded like the Sharks scored. That's how many people were applauding.
That's scary.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, yeah,
AJ, no did
put it.
AJ, did they announce the attendance?
Yes, they did. It was 17, like 242. So it was just a couple hundred under a sellout.
Gotcha.
Or so at least so they say.
Right. Of course.
Don Julio pointing out though, hey, we still won and sent them all home disappointed.
That's right.
That's what I said, you know, if any night you can send the SAP crowd home sad after a win is a good night.
What was that, AJ?
I'm in a dead zone, so I'll hook up with you guys when I get home.
All right.
All right. Have a good one. Be safe.
Drive safely.
So yeah, I don't want to beat the crowd thing to death because, for fuck's sake, we've been over this so many times. But yeah,
true.
With you know, the waning attendance and the ticket price going up and all that lovely stuff.
I told you, yeah. I was making a drum kit, so I might just beat all the drums simultaneously, like Animal.
Yeah, I just well, I don't get to beat the power play drum tonight. The backup goalie drum is on the shelf. I was half. I mean, is Crawford a backup? I mean, because we can have the debate. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Is Crawford a backup? Is
Ilya Bryzgalov settled the hot dog thing already on the All-Star weekend? And I trust no higher power on this planet than Ilya Bryzgalov. So it's settled.
Yeah.
The world's a humongous league.
The backup goalie question, though, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear, is Peter Budaj a backup goalie? So, you know, philosophers have wondered for centuries.
Anyway.
Go for it.
I was just going to kind of catch up on tonight. Hurdle, man, that last shift with only 3 minutes to go in the game, man, he was all over it. He was taking care of business against Duncan Keith. And again, right place, right time. Glad that, I want to say kid, but he's almost 22.
That's a kid.
Well, compared into when he came into the league at 19. But man, he had a great shift on that play and ended up getting the game winning goal. I was just impressed by what Hurdle did there in the last few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I like the effort really top to bottom. All four lines really, I felt, were clicking pretty well. You know, the fourth line had energy. You know, really all the lines. Marlowe's line was buzzing all night. Thornton's line probably looked the most dangerous I've seen them in a while. I'm hoping, like, the second half of the season, maybe Thornton can pick up the pace a little bit from where he's been. Speaking of Thornton, did y'all, you know, let's talk about arbitrary list, shall we? Did y'all catch the NHL top 100 that broke a few days ago there?
Yes. Yep.
So apparently Jonathan Toews is on there, which I'm not sure about, Duncan Keith and Patrick Sharp. So we had three players on that list in the game tonight, and none of them were named number 19.
Well, unfortunately, I hate to say it, and it's one of those things where it's the simple, how many Stanley Cups do you have? And how many outdoor games have you played in?
Oh, Vince G in the chat real quick. Hashtag not my top 100. Yes. That's good.
Yes.
hashtag fake list.
Yeah, no. I would think if you were to stretch it out to 101, Jumbo's got to be there. But like Don Julio says, until Thornton wins a cup, he's not going to be on that list. And personally, if he doesn't win a cup, I wonder, I mean, he should be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame, but I wonder if some writers won't let him in
on the first. No, I think he'd be fine. Look at anything that I've heard since the list was released. I mean, the fact that Joe Thornton was on the list was a pretty unanimous, like, people were like, "What? That? Why is Joe Thornton not on this list?"
Yeah, it wasn't just Sharks fans like in my Twitter.
Yeah, no.
What the hell? It was a lot of different big names from ESPN and ESPN and all the different things were saying, okay, why is Thornton not on there? So, I mean, to me, that was the most, like, I didn't really feel like chiming in much. One, because it's a stupid arbitrary list. But two, the guys who cover this for a living were pretty unanimously saying it. So, you know what? I don't need your damn list. Hashtag not my top 100. But yeah, you can fuck off with your dumb list.
It's so arbitrary, right? Like, I mean, it was cool to see all those guys out there on the ice for the All-Star game and whatnot, and having all those guys there. I mean, that's always, you know, anytime you can pull out the graybeards, it's always nice to pull them out there. But at the same time, it's like, how do you compare eras?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, where you had Billy Smith and Grant Fuhr in a live puck era get in there. And I think that was one of the things that they're suggesting on the broadcast tonight, was that for mostly in a dead puck era, for Jumbo to have that, to have the career he's had is actually unreal.
So there actually is a ranking that's done, and you know, it's a mathematical model, so it's not perfect, but right. a score adjustment per era. And if you adjust per era, you know, by their calculations, Thornton moves up to fourth all time in assists and 12th all time in points. So, I mean, he's impressive as is, I believe, at number, what was his current number? Is it like 12 and 25 or something? I forget what the current ranking is, but he's top 25 in both points and assists right now, as is. That alone is impressive as hell, but he's done it in a much lower scoring era. So it's there's no question. And I know people like to say he doesn't have a cup. He'll probably go down as one of the best players to ever not win a cup, or I hope he doesn't, but he might. And I don't have any doubt he'll make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Kevin in the chat. So you mean to tell me all the greats whose numbers were retired in the Hall of Fame for the first year, 50 years weren't so good. I think if I recall correctly, there was going to be another list from the original era or some sort of that. Mike Nevis in the chat, Bodker not in the top 100.
No, he's pretty clearly in the top 100. Yeah, no. And Don Hoyo saying, shut my mouth, he's going to win a cup. I'm not saying I don't think Thornton can win a cup. I'm just saying, like, as of right now, if he retires tomorrow, I think he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, whether he wins a cup or not, I think, and that says the caliber of player he is, that I think he doesn't need a cup on his resume to make the Hall of Fame. It would help. It would definitely help.
It would help somebody that's one goal away from 500, perhaps.
Yes, that is looming. Speaking of that, what is the next game? Did somebody?
That's right. No. Somebody see Vancouver.
I should be in bed for that one too.
Yeah, we are in Vancouver, 7 o'clock on Thursday. That's gonna be, you know. Actually, real quick before we jump onto that, did my thought when we scored the empty netter was I don't think they're gonna pull Corey Crawford. I mean, with 45 seconds, it's less likely anyways, but part of me is like, they're not gonna go empty net because I don't think they want to give up number 500. And would we really want number 500 to be an empty netter when you're up by two already anyways?
Yeah, man. He after you know, I mean, it was clearly offside earlier, but I think after, you know, before all this instant replay, no one would have ever noticed that was offside.
Okay, Grandpa.
Get off my lawn.
That's normally I'm the grumpy one on here when it comes to that.
You know what? A goal's a goal, man.
let me ask you guys this. Would you want the coaches' challenges to be something to get rid of the offsides rule and have it be maybe something else?
We've already beaten this drum too many times, but I mean, I'm just kind of the opinion that, like, you can only, I think you should only be able to go back like 30 seconds, something, but yeah, let's not get into that debate. Someone pointed out in chat, you know, no shame in an empty netter. I'm not saying there's any shame, but. Mm-mm. I kind of want 500 to be something more spectacular than an empty netter when you're up by two. I mean, if that's how it comes, I'll take it. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Chester Chief Vodka was a better player before replay was instituted. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Anyways, somebody did say Vancouver, and
that's right. Captain Phasma wants me to do the shoot two scooters. Oh boy!
So the Vancouver Canucks. I need to pull up the standings here. I think, you know, they have some false hope going on right now. TSN 1040. They're thinking, you know, they're getting delusions of grandeur there. They are currently one spot out of a wild card. Mm-hmm. I do count the one between, but they are number 10 in the West with 52 points. St. Louis has the second wild card, so at 53. So, hey, Vancouver, getting a little false hope there. They are 4-3-3 in their last 10. So I would hope that the Sharks can march in there for the first time this season and take a win.
Yeah, I mean, for Vancouver, they're hanging on. They're hanging on, and they keep finding a way. I mean, I think USA Today predicted them to have 65 points this year, and they got off to a great start. Then all of a sudden, went on a 9-game losing streak, and where we thought that Willie Desjardins was going to be fired, but you know, they found a way after that streak ended to keep things going along. It also helps that Calgary and LA have calmed down a bit too.
What do you think, Ian?
I here's my concern if I'm a Canucks fan, is that, you know, I'm going to look at this place in the standings with the trade deadline fast approaching, and I'm, you know, and my owner is going to think that we're a contender and is going to make me move what few assets we have to try and win now, which is only going to set this team back another, you know, every false move like that you make sets this team back another year or so.
Every trade you take?
Pretty much. I mean, Vancouver, really, this is a team that needs to tear it down to the bolts and rebuild, because they don't have a ton in the cupboard, you know. And so if they fool themselves into thinking they're a contender, and ownership, who I think is largely to blame for a lot of the problems in Vancouver, gets too involved, then you're just setting this team back, and it's just going to not be, you know, it's just going to be perpetually not good. At best, it's going to be a team that, you know, sniffs the playoffs but is never a contender.
So basically, the Red Wings of the last few years.
Red Wings, you know, Calgary went through a rut where they were like that. You know, a lot of teams go through that, unfortunately. But yeah, Red Wings are a notable pick, although they haven't really. The Red Wings are just, they're not the same. The Red Wings don't really offload a ton of stuff at the deadline to try and rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't really sent a lot of assets away in order to remain competitive. They just refuse to accept that the party's over.
Yeah. So what we really want is, we do want Vancouver to go all in, because
that is
good. Like, burn, baby, burn. I drink the salty tears of Canucks fans at night. It is delicious.
They have a tough schedule in February, you know, where the Sharks have a pretty good February that they should do pretty well.
Should.
Yep.
Should.
And with that, let's talk about the standings here. I believe you should be able to see my screen now. So, yeah, the Sharks are in first with 66 points. The Oilers are now two behind them because they fell to the Wild, I believe, 5-2 earlier. The Wild put it on to them in the second period. I saw part of that. Some really, really, really entertaining game, actually. The Oilers are a fun team to watch right now. So are the Wild. The Ducks, I believe, were in action tonight. Did I assume that game?
The Ducks are winning. Last I looked, they're playing the Avalanche, though.
Anaheim beat Colorado 5-1. The Kings beat the Coyotes. Desert Dogs 3-2. Minnesota 5, Edmonton 2. Dallas scored 5 goals in the first period to beat the Leafs 6-3. Winnipeg 5, St. Louis 3. So Winnipeg's still hanging in the wild card race too as well. Florida 6, Ottawa 5. Nice classic 1980s game. Devils 4, Red Wings 3. Ay, ay, ay. Montreal 5-2 over Buffalo. Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes have a pulse. They beat the Flyers 5-1. Pittsburgh 4, Nashville 2. The Columbus Blue Jackets, formerly known to me as the Neon Buggers, beat the Rangers 6-4. And the we don't know where they're going to play soon Islanders beat the Washington Capitals 3-2. Back to you, Chris.
I think you need to stop presenting me because I'm just looking at my face here as you're talking. I'm just like looking all bored here on the screen as I'm watching.
I thought you had it up the whole time. My bad.
Sorry, guys. You had to look at my face for that long. I am
really sorry. What are you doing?
My apologies there. Anyways, yeah, I was kind of half paying attention there. Did you go through the other? Did you look at the other scores tonight or no?
Yeah, that was all. Okay, sorry.
That's me paying great attention there. So,
speaking of the Islanders, though, I mean they've really turned it around since they fired Capuano.
Yeah, they're sitting 3 points out of the playoff spot with.
Look at Tampa. What's going on?
I mean, Tampa's still at 50, Buffalo at 49, Detroit at 49, and that's the bottom of the barrel in the East. So from worst in the East to the last wild card is separated by 7 points, and you have Philly that's hanging in there at 56, then Toronto at 55, Florida at 54, Islanders at 53, Carolina and New Jersey at 51. Well, with Tampa at 50 and Buffalo and Detroit at 49. And somebody can go on a hot winning streak in there and they'll be in a playoff spot.
Yep. I think the camera's still stuck on me because I'm looking at my bald head. Damn it, Eric. I think you probably have the focus down on in the lower corner there.
Just trying to give you some more, you know.
Yeah, like, more, I don't see my shiny head. So with that, actually, we have a little game we're gonna play here. So Ian, you came on just for a little game here. So we're gonna play a fun game. I call it fact or alternative fact. I'm gonna give you a series of quick hitters here, and you're gonna tell me if that's a fact or an alternative fact. And if it's not, you can say wrong or however you like to say it. You can all play along in the chat, too. You can give little quips and comments if you like, and we'll try to read them on here. So we'll start. Eric, first one. Yes.
All right.
The Sharks will make a significant move at the trade deadline, top six or top four D-men. Is that a fact or an alternative fact?
Personally, I think it's an alternative fact. I don't see them making a big move. It would cost them too much, and they have barely any room. Sad. Move on. That's a fake fact. Goal.
All right, there. I see AJ joining just in time for our little game of fact or alternative fact. So, AJ, you get to go next. Fact or alternative fact, Thornton is top 100 all time.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. Do you have any additional comments there? Because I think you missed our little discussion on that.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yep. All right, then. Ian, and this one's right up your alley because I know. Oh, man, I did not plan this, but this is perfect, actually.
Canadians ain't angrier than Americans?
Not right now.
Fact or alternative fact, Marlowe will be with the Sharks next season.
Ooh. I get it. Before he answers, I got to say I'm really bummed out that I wasn't able to play this game earlier.
We just started. Like, you came on at the perfect time. I'm going to go with alternative fact. I just, unless the money is perfect, I don't see it. And I've kind of, this is my drum. I don't care. This is mine. No one else can have it. It's an alternative fact. The money's just not there.
Yep, I tend to agree there.
Damn.
All right, then.
500 be damned.
Fact or alternative fact to Eric. Thornton averages a point per game for the remaining games of the season. Not for the whole season, but for the remaining games of the season. Is that a fact or an alternative fact?
I think that there's no way he could keep it on a point per pace at all. That's just that's like fake tears. It's not gonna happen. Alternative fact, sad. Back to you.
Did we not have a meeting about this that when he goes into impression mode it's auto mute?
Well, we've been really nice to him.
Okay.
Wait till Thursday.
Oh shit.
Oh my goodness.
And no one said it.
Well, they said it earlier.
Well, they didn't say it now.
We let him say it because, I mean, he's been waiting all season to actually say it when we're talking about the actual team.
That's true.
Anyways,
moving on. Sorry.
AJ, fact or alternative fact, the Kings missed the playoffs.
Oh, that's fact.
That is a fact.
That was fact on October 12th when Quick lost his mind trying to get Pavelski's autograph.
ZG Salt saying, if you're going to do a Trump impression, do it good. Not very good. That's 4 out of 29. I don't know how you scan the scale of 29, but you got a 4 out of 29 there, Puck Guy. That is definitely an alternative type score there.
Sad.
And another one, this one actually also teed up perfectly for Ian here. Is it fact or alternative fact? Timo stays up for the remainder of the season.
I think it's fact. I think if they were going to send him down, he wouldn't have come back up after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And with that, we close the book on fact or alternative fact. There's your little political commentary bit for the night. We won't go too much into that. There's plenty of other places you can find more commentary in that. We just have a little fun with it. We like to have fun here. Yeah, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
AJ, do you have something you need to get off your chest here? Because I know you have thoughts, I'm sure.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you've probably were able to beat on my power play drum earlier, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that probably happened. I will say, though, I was able to finally, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, it was about a month or so ago, there was a game where LeBanc got the game winner, and the following game, LeBanc, the Sharks were in a tie game, and I said, oh my God, if LeBanc gets the game winner here, I'm buying his jersey the next day. And he didn't get the game winner, but he kind of did because it went to the shootout, and LeBanc got the determining goal. So for you people who follow... and they know it came in today.
Nice.
That's right. It's
straight
here.
Straight to the bank.
Money, money, money.
The LeBanc jersey has landed.
Nice.
Awesome. Very cool.
So everybody who was giving me shit on Twitter saying that, oh, you're not getting it, dude. I just had to. It took a little. Apparently the woman who does the stitching and everything was under the weather, so it took a little longer than normal. And holy crap. Did she come back with a vengeance? Because the Shark store tonight, the back wall behind the counter was just a row of jerseys, dude, waiting to be picked up, dude. And the overwhelming number, it was like 88, 88, 88, 19, 88, 88, 19, 39, 12, 88, 80. Oh my God, people are having themselves a Burns Fest.
Well, he's going to be here 8 more years. 8, you know?
Yeah,
it's
a good pick. And yeah, Phasma saying 62 is a sexy jersey number. Not as sexy as Desjardins' original number, but hey,
it's hilarious.
And of course, he goes straight after that to something about 69. So it's like we're on the same wavelength there, Phasma.
62 wasn't exactly a great number a while ago. Just ask Andrei Nazarov.
Just a couple quick things. Rocket and I both agreeing that Braun, not one of his best games tonight.
I thought he was a little hit and miss, honestly. Like, he had some really good plays, I thought, defensively. I mean, him and Vlasic were doing some heavy lifting there defensively.
So yeah, but
I think that's part of it, too.
There was just a couple times in front of the net where I was expecting him to clear the crease a little bit more, and he wasn't. The funniest thing, of course, being is that when it went to when they went to review Marlowe's goal and McCauley's in there, literally everybody in our section was like, and after review on the play, everybody doing the dramatic goal call, like, come on, give us another one. We were all so pissed off.
In the chat, Kevin Lacey was asking, I guess it was Chum Night tonight, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, where's your chum at, AJ?
I did not know it was chum night tonight.
I think it was like the chum pack or whatever.
Yeah. It might have been. And funnily enough, I actually purchased tickets tonight at the box office because F you Ticketmaster and StubHub and your retarded fees. So I bought two tickets for March 2nd. For who are we playing on March 2nd, Eric?
Vancouver.
So I picked up two tickets because, you know, fuck Ticketmaster and the retarded fees. But that was the thing that I asked the girl at the box. So I'm like, is there any like code that I need to know in order to get like a free, I don't know, Moscow Mule cup or something like that? And she's like, I don't see anything in my system. And this is the thing about some of these promotions is I understand that they're waiting to see what the demand is and then they announce it. But now it's getting to the point where people are like, they're scared to pull the trigger because they don't want to buy tickets and then find out the next day that, oh, you could have spent the exact same amount of money but gotten, you know, two bottles of beer and drink coasters or whatever it could have been. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit in that boat tonight. Like, I'm like, screw it. I'm doing it. But hold on. Why Sleepy Mofo saying, fuck, you know, damn you, AJ. What did I do wrong?
Everything. I don't know. But yeah, the chat is a little blue tonight, guys. Keep it classy, guys. Keep it classy.
Oh, no, they know I'm here. That's why they're blue.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to F all over the place.
Sleepy Mofo saying Puck Geyser kicking himself for having a burrish sweater.
Hey, that was a cheap, authentic jersey. Wait.
Do you actually have one?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he fucking does, dude.
Oh man! No,
seriously, for the equipment sale, I promised myself one jersey a year, and
it's going to be the worst one every time.
I mean, in terms of bad picks, that's a
Hall that's up there.
Well, let's put it this way: the most expensive jersey next after that one, because it was like $125. hey,
okay,
this was a steal, mind you. This thing, which is the original Edge jersey, was $50, and it's game worn.
And you stole it?
No, no. The Air Hoff one was $50.
You have to have before you bought that Burris jersey.
Well, it was either that one or the $500 team issue James Reimer, which I wasn't going to pay $500 if it wasn't going to.
Well, how much did they want me to pay for that Boyle one when we went?
300. No, yeah. No, it was 500. It was 500.
Oof. See, I thought it was around three or so. But the thing being is because, and that was definitely a discount from what it would have been a year earlier, because at that point when we went to that, Boyle had been off the team for a season. Right. Imagine, did you guys, it'd have been 800 if it was the year before.
Did you guys see Chester's latest work of masterpiece?
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. I haven't. I mean, I'm too busy having my dick knocked in the dirt evidently by AO and a couple other people in the chat. Fuck, like what the fuck did I do? All I did was jump on and everybody's like lighting me up in the chat. What did I do?
No, it's great.
Okay, yeah, I'll share this and
you got it
here. I'll okay. Like I have the full screen thing here, so.
Chris has the con.
One moment, but yeah, just keep talking while I get this up.
No,
hey now. Tell me you don't tell your wife that. Keep talking while I get this up.
All the time, AJ.
going through the chat, Mr. Polite, you know, free customization on all Premier jerseys, teal, white, or black. That's a hot deal. Yeah, that's obviously why there's so many customized jerseys.
A0, they were saying they were having a hard time keeping up with them, dude.
Oh, I bet. I bet. A012345, how about a Torrey Mitchell sweater? Yes, I actually have one. That was
Mitchell. And hey, what's up, ZG?
Yes, what's up? My Torrey Mitchell was like $175. So, and it has puck marks that I photo match, so that makes it even more valuable.
And just to let you know too, as well, the World Cup of Hockey USA and Team Canada sweaters at the Shark Store, they have a handful left, but they're all marked half off, dude. I picked up a Team Canada authentic normally 350, got it for 170.
So really, we have a tremendous, a huge moment in Pucknology history here, as we 1.5 million people watching tonight.
why is my smiling face sitting as your screenshot right now?
Because we have 1.5 million viewers, but only 16 likes. So, I mean, clearly we still suck.
I mean, but it's huge, huge. I mean, huge. The crowd is tremendous. It's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge. Like my cheeks in the photo you're sharing right now.
Thank you, Chester, for that one. So on the subject of bad jerseys here, and Peel can chime in on the chat as well, and I'll let you guys go around the horn here. What's the worst jersey you own? I mean, Puck Guy, I don't know if you're saying worse than that Burris jersey, you can chime in, but I don't know. I think you're already spoken for here. AJ?
My worst jersey, and it has nothing to do with the player. It's just because a group of us got together to try like one of those Chinese knockoff places where if you order like 10 jerseys, you get free shipping. So it was like five of us from the football party, and everybody ordered two jerseys. And I ordered a 49ers jersey that actually came out really well. That you wouldn't be even be able to tell the difference. But I ordered a black armor Ryan Klo jersey, and the numbers, like the two is supposed to go, you know, horizontal, vertical, horizontal, vertical, and instead it goes horizontal and then diagonal down. It's like right there, that's the telltale that it's a knockoff. And when you put it on, it's definitely a little heavier than a real jersey, so you can definitely feel it. But, you know, if you're drunk and you're looking at it from a block away, it looks fantastic.
In the chat, Rocket chiming in with Dylan. I mean, Rocket, we could have. Yeah, I mean, you're, you know, kind of took the joke away from us. A0 says fake Marlowe Olympic jersey. Phasma says Pollock. Sleepy Mofo says Campbell. Ian, I'm sure as a Canadian, Ian, I'm sure you have a lot of jerseys and you probably have a few bad ones. What's your worst?
I don't. All my jerseys are, honestly, all my sweaters are behind me. I have an old original white.
Do you have any ones that are actually plated with numbers, or you just have straight up just jerseys?
I like plain, because then when I, you know, if I put a name on my jersey, then that player is going to suck and it'll be all my fault.
I will never shop for yogurt with you if you like plain.
Boring.
No, I just
Laurel said she has a Kings jersey. Laurel. I thought Laurel, we were what the hell? Friends. Laurel.
I have another one. I have one of the black like Space Coyote jerseys, which I absolutely love.
Ooh. Yeah, just kidding. We forgive Laurel. So my worst jersey, I don't really have a worst Sharks jersey, because I mean, I guess if the worst player I have that's an ex-Shark is maybe Murray, but Murray was awesome for a few years. Mm-hmm. I do have, for 49ers though, I have Ahmed frickin' Plummer. And yeah, if Gen X is watching, I'm sure he would be raging right now because football got a mention.
I will tell you this. Chris will appreciate this. For a, I think it was like week 10 in 94, dude, I fucking bought a Deion Sanders 49er jersey that year that he played for us.
Nice.
And then, dude, as soon as he like left, I took that shit to the 49ers store and exchanged it for a William Floyd.
Laurel wants me to correct this on air, because we do not want to slander her good name. She had a Kings jersey.
And so, gave it away, okay, apparently.
Good. No, we're just... We trusted you, Laurel. We were kidding. We would never think anything bad of you.
Yeah, no. If there's one jersey, that's probably the worst.
Mike Nevis says he had a Jose Cortez jersey. Oh wow. God.
Former LA Extreme in the XFL.
Hey, I have an Owen Potts.
And the reason why he has Jose Cortez is because they were sold out of Jim Drunken Miller's.
Oh gosh.
Welcome to Football After Dark.
Well, this is probably the worst jersey, but AJ, you know this place, when it was going out of business at Town and Country.
Oh, 49er fan club.
Yes. They were going out of business. I think it was like their last day.
Oh, and I wish I would have known about
and
that.
And they were still doing customization on replica jerseys. So I got a Jerry Rice done, and they're like, hey, do you want this one? We'll give it to you for $10. I was like, okay, cool. So I get this,
Wait, what?
I get this jersey here.
Montana never wore that jersey.
Well, wait. It's not Montana. It's your name.
Jerry Montana.
You got the display. That's awesome.
which I think, honestly, it fits for the team right now.
Chester oh, Chivo that's says, right. Dude, you should wear that to a Niner game next season, dude. Chester You'd Chivo be the life of the party.
He doesn't have any terrible jerseys because he doesn't buy anything from the 49ers. Oh, yep, that's very true.
Hey, now.
That's true. But hockey-wise, I would probably say I have a Wild Wing Mighty Ducks jersey because I like to collect the
See, but I yeah. would I but I would take one of those because they're kind of rare.
See, and the other thing too, the other two I'm looking for are the Burger King jersey, just because it's a rare one, and then that red Canucks jersey.
Dude, Vince G in the chat, bringing the all-time, you know, hardest to find jersey ever, the Las Vegas placeholders.
Yes. Oh, you mean the Raiders?
Oh, hey.
Let's not get into that massive bucket of fail. I mean, how bad do you have to be as an owner when you fail at failing? I mean, look it up if you want to see how dysfunctional the They meant they're yeah. Let's not get into that though, because okay. we're not going football after dark.
But okay, but hold on. Around the panel, worst. If you could own the worst Sharks jersey, who would it be?
Mike Rathje.
Oh, see, I totally have a different name in mind, Chris.
Probably Mike Brown. I don't know.
See, Ian.
Pat Flynn.
Ooh.
See, I got to go with Mark Bell.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
See, I feel like I got a lot of value with that pick.
What would get you jeered the most at the tank? A Brian Campbell jersey?
A Belfour.
Oh, I got a Belfour. It's going to be.
I mean, as a Sharks jersey.
Ooh. Yeah, and Belfour. Yeah, yeah, Belfour might do it.
They're all coming in now.
Belfour,
Dylan,
Falloon. I think Falloon might even get a few jeers. Like people just pissed off. Actually, you know what? Rathje.
I've seen a strong pick.
Havlat is a huge pick. That might be like the number one pick, but if it's a Sharks jersey that's going to get booed, I think Havlat is a strong pick, but I think Rathje, because there was so much expected from him and so many people had a problem with him. And when you think about the amount of time he played for the Sharks.
What's with the hate for Zubris in the chat there? Like, I mean, Zubris wasn't a great player for the Sharks, but I don't know. If he was a decent enough role player last year.
Torres.
Rathje.
I don't know. I don't have a problem. You know what would be really funny is if somebody bought a Sharks jersey and the number is 13 and the nameplate says suspended.
Chester Chivo says he has a set of Wild jersey. Now, okay.
Tell me you didn't play jerseys. Money for that.
We go on about jerseys all night.
Here. Oh, Niemi.
Niemi.
Niemi. Oh, that's a good one.
There's a lot of good ones.
Hold on. Wasn't there one? There was at least one, maybe two players, and I know one of you guys are going to know this. That similar to like Pronger, like he's on the Coyotes payroll, but he never played a game. Didn't we have Mark Messier for like 5 seconds?
Yes, we did.
We did.
So if somebody had a fucking Messier 94 Sharks jersey too, oh my god, that'd be
there fantastic. Might be some rage for those who would actually get that. There might be some serious rage there.
That'd be fantastic. Oh, Jeremy Roenick.
Rafi with 41 is the number. Thank you, Laurel. Very good. Very good. Well played.
Very nice.
All right. Nice. We could go on for quite a while about this one. Maybe one time on Way After Dark, we'll have to go really long on jerseys. Yeah. Steve, all right, we could go all night on this.
Steve Shields, good pick.
Good pick.
So AJ, let's go around the horn real quick. Final thoughts before we wrap up here. AJ, you want to start off?
I mean, really, I can't bang the power play drum anymore. Hope they work on that. But February looks to be not cruise control, but if you look at the teams that they have to play in February, this is really the time to put some distance between it to at least put distance between the top three and, you know, four or five in the Pacific, and hopefully take advantage and get some distance between yourselves and Edmonton. I mean, do we play Edmonton at all?
We anymore? Play them in late March and early April. We have two more games against them right at the end of the season. So that could really, you know, hopefully those will not be deciding the division, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So take the opportunity that was presented to you and really work February to your advantage, especially when you have that there's only four home games at February. So use that road time to your advantage. And there you go, man.
Eric.
AG kind of hit what I was going to say right on the head. You're going into February where it's a semi-light schedule. You're also going to have your bye week in there. If they could pull some distance, it'll be great. And it's also going to be a testing time for that whole crew, because by the time you play Toronto on February 28th, you're going to need to know if this is the lineup you're going to have to make another run. Definitely going to be a very interesting month, and man, if they can get out to a lead in February, they have some ground for everybody to catch up on. That'll be really great come March.
For sure. Ian, your final thoughts?
I should be sleeping.
You're probably right.
It was a fun game. Like tonight was a really fun game. I really enjoyed it. I hope we see more games like that against some of these teams that we're coming up against that are kind of fast and speedy. Like, I think the Coyotes could be a fun game, even if they're, you know, bad, and Buffalo is not great, but I think that could be a fun game too. I just want to see some more fun hockey.
Agreed.
And tonight was fun.
Tonight was blast.
Yeah.
Tonight was playoff reminiscent.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Reminded me a lot of an LA Kings game.
Yes, actually, I said that earlier. Like, it's like those Kings games. It was a fun. It's a fun game that if you had nothing at stake, it's a really fun game to watch. It's exactly what you want to see: a very competitive back and forth kind of game. My final thoughts is really, I'm going to grab AJ's drum here and beat it for a moment. But the power play, really, I've been saying this on Twitter. It's, I think, the difference between them being out in the first or second round and being a real cup contender is that power play has to be better. It just has to. You can't have a power play that bad and get to the finals. It just can't happen. So that's my number one concern for the rest of the season. I think they can make the playoffs, but they gotta get that power play right. So with that, we are going to put a nice little bow on this and go through all the final things we always do after every show. So if you are new here, subscribe. We are live after every single game. You can also check us out, audio only, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and MySpace as well. Even find Adult Friend Finder, I think, or something to that effect. For announcements and plugs, listen to the Pucknologists, AJ's lovely podcast. Ian has a new hockey writer's room.
Yeah.
And this last, if you get a moment, take a listen to last Sunday's Writer's Room. It was really, really good. Yeah. I really liked what they talked about. They're all really, really good, but I really liked what they talked about with, like, the NHL's top 100 and all-star, so it was very cool.
Thank you.
For sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean you. I meant the other guys that were on the show.
Oh, that's totally fair. I, you know what? I knew this. I was like, oh, wait, Hockey Jerk was on. Of course AJ liked our show.
Wow. Okay, and with that, I will remind you once again, we are sponsored by Audible. You can check out audibletrial.com/PAD. You can get a free audiobook and all that good stuff. Check out over 180,000 audiobooks. You have things about hockey, they have Lord of the Rings, they have all kinds of good shit. I was actually listening to something on there the other day. audibletrial.com/PAD. With that, Sharks win 3-1 over the Blackhawks. Great game. Marlowe gets .499. We are on .500 watch. With that, have a good night. keep it fresh and real and whatever you keep it.
Ah, jeez. Keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep it real tight. And make sure you subscribe below. Good night, everyone.
Dude, I'm stealing that.
Somebody say Vancouver?
No, they didn't.
Nope, no one said Vancouver.